We're just going to welcome God into this moment, eh? He's already here, but let's just ask him to be a part of what's happening. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you'd open the heart of every man that's here. Open the mind of every man that's here to hear that special word you've got for every man here today. And Lord, I just pray for Dale that you would anoint him to speak boldly for you. You would empower him and give him the courage to say what needs to be said. I ask that in your precious name, of your Son, Lord Jesus. Amen. Bless you.
How's that, fellas? Hear me all right? Good. Who's had a good time already? Yeah. You guys are smart doing it over a long weekend. When we have a retreat at home, we just do 2 days. This is the wardrobe department. Thank you, Marty. Is my hair all right? Yeah. You know, we said Matt and I came to go hard, and we've been going hard. It's been going good. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God, son of God. I hope you're starting to get that sense of that. Even fellas have come to me and said, I've been in church for 34 years and nobody's told me I'm the son of God. If you don't walk as a son, if you don't walk close to your father, you won't be wholehearted. It's essential. And I'm still discovering that. Why do I just kneel right now? Because I need to kneel more. And so I just do it before you because I need to do that. Kneel before my Father. Amazing grace. What a beautiful song. I wanted to share with you that when I came to faith at 32 and I had an 18-month-old daughter, and my wife and I, we went camping with our little one. And my job in the family at that time, one of the jobs was to get up early. I'm an early riser. And of course, babies get up early. And so I'd always take the babies for a walk and give my wife time to sleep. And that just worked beautifully with our rhythm. And we were camping together. It was the first time I'd taken my daughter camping. And camping was, like, I've got some family history there, fellas, but I've got some good stuff in my family too, you know. So it's not all bad. Camping was a time of deep, good memories for me and my family. And so here I was with my daughter and my wife, and I'd come to faith. And I had new hope. I'm walking up this creek, and when I say walking up the creek, I'm in the creek walking. It was beautiful in this stream. It's middle of summer. Not like here, fellas. It was absolutely beautiful, and I got my daughter in the backpack. And so here I've got the life of this little girl on my back. And I'm singing Amazing Grace up this stream. Beautiful new beginning. And I had hope then. I had hope that I could become a good dad. I could become a good husband. And I had now a new father who was going to teach me and show me the way. That was beautiful. Whenever I hear that song, I go back to that moment powerfully. She's 24 now, and right where I hope she'd be. Right where I hope she'd be. I want to encourage you as fathers that you've got a role, no matter how old you are, that is so, so important. I'm not going to speak on that today. There's more on that. But don't go to sleep on that role, fellas. And you know what we think sometimes? Oh, they're not interested in our view or our opinion. Or no, they're not, actually. They're interested in our time. They're interested in our love for them, to listen to them. My girls come to me, my wife and my two daughters, they come for man hugs, you know, like dad's hugs. That's a place of safety they come to. And there's a time when your girls grow up, and your sons, and they don't want to hug you anymore. You know, it gets a bit awkward. They start developing breasts and their body changes, and fight to keep hugging them, fellas. Don't give up on that. And my 24-year-old now, when she comes for a hug, she's left home. Man, she just rests into me. It's a beautiful thing, beautiful thing. Love, the Bible talks about love. It's the greatest power on the planet. We see hate in action. We see the damage it does. Love can heal. It's so much more powerful than hate. We've got to step into that. You blokes can't see me, so I'm going to stand up. How sweet is it to hear a bunch of blokes worshipping together? We went on one of our men's retreat and the worship time together. Thanks these fellas, eh? Let's thank these fellas for leading us. It was after our first men's retreat and we just loved the worship together, being side by side and worshipping. And I rang the pastor, I think, and said, you got to find a spot for us in the service next Sunday. And we're going to get up and sing. The men are going to get up and sing. And so we bounded up on stage, probably 40, 45 of us or something. And we sung. I can't remember what we sung. I look out there. I had 45 blokes behind me. That was just awesome in itself. Women were crying. Women were crying because they saw their men alive. They saw them with brothers. They saw them with passion. They want that for us. You know, how many women said, go to the better blokes? The wives, and they can't give us what we need, fellas. As much as they try, much as they love us, there's things we can only get from the Father and from other men. Our masculinity, our worthiness as a man can only come from the company of other men. Our women try and encourage us. They try and prop us up. If you've got a good woman, I have, she'll try and tell me, you're a good man. But when I get that delivered from another man, it's powerful. So we need to be in the company of men. That's another talk, another time. What I want to do, I will tell you this now, fellas. We just went on this journey and it's all captured in here. I'm giving you an invitation to what this is. If you lead a group of men, if you need to be a part of a group of men after this weekend, get this. It's Aussie stuff and it'll walk you through all the things that I'm touching on. So today I want to talk to you about, well, wholehearted men. Who's been a little bit inspired by even those words? Wholehearted men. How do we become wholehearted? We've talked about knowing who you are. That's a big topic, identity. But fundamentally, if we can't, you know what Watto says? Some of you haven't met him before today, maybe, or this weekend. He walks around yelling at us that we're champion sons of the king. That's who we are. He's trying to speak into us who you are. He's trying to speak into us whose we are. If you don't take that on yourself, then his words are wasted. And so we got to know who we are. We've got to keep reminding ourselves of who we are. We are sons of the King, the Almighty Creator, who thinks we're worth dying for, who knows he's done it. He doesn't think it. He's done it. That's how amazing potential that's been woven into us. This man got up last night and said, I'm not making any more excuses. Potential, he knows there's potential there. Who's got potential in them that's not fulfilled yet? Wholehearted men, they're not wasting their time. You know why I share with you that I was afraid yesterday? Not because I wanted your pity. I want to tell you, I'm just a bloke. I'm scared. And I'm stepping out anyway. And I get scared. And if I get scared and step back, the best gets missed. So don't be afraid of fear. Fear is your invitation to be courageous. Fear is not the problem. It's what do we do next is the problem. We've heard from Matt about who the true Father is. The Father that loves us. So if we're the son of this loving Father, that's a foundation of our identity. It's good. It's solid. Rest into that, fellas. Wholehearted men have whole, intact, engaged hearts. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. This heart thing. I'm pretty bad at following structure here, fellas, if you haven't worked that out. Good. Reconnect with your heart, fellas. I need to read a little bit of this. If the first essential relationship of your life is your upward relationship with God, the second most important one is inward to your heart. So after understanding who I am here, how am I going here? As men, we often focus on outward performance, production, achievements, status, work and busyness to prove ourselves that we've got what it takes to be a man. We engage the head and we often disconnect from the heart. That deep centre of our lives where our inner feelings, fears, there it is, failings remain concealed and often hidden from those nearest to us. But the Bible's all about the heart. If the heart is right, then everything else is right. It's the centre. And if you get your heart right, everything else falls into place. The heart engages the whole man. I started on this. Often we think about the heart as being soft, sentimental feelings, stuff that women are on about. No, the heart is the centre. We all right, Darl? Fellas, I got to interview, I said, the commander of the SAS. And I asked him about when he's calling on men to take action, what does that take? And he said, if I appeal to their head to charge a foxhole, he said, they're not going to go. I've got to appeal to their heart. That's where courage is. That's where loyalty is. That's where hearts are so important. If we think the feelings aren't important, guys, just have a look in any workplace, in any family, in any organisation, the impact of fear as a thing that stops things. So feelings are powerful. Doesn't mean we don't engage here. We've got to engage here and here. The heart is so important. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. I think I shared with you yesterday that my wife would say, where's this anger come from? Anger was coming out of my mouth because it was in my heart. Hurt was in my heart. You know, when women are hurt, they cry. When men are hurt, they get angry. And we've got to learn how to deal with that. Or we hurt people with anger. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew the steadfast spirit in me. Who needs some of that? Yeah? Well, what I want to know, fella, what I want to talk to you about is reading those words, isn't it? Create in me a good, pure heart, God. I've said that multiple times. But unless I'm actually seeking that, and actually I'm actually engaging and wanting that, asking God for it, then it'll be just some words on a page. I want to share with you how I've gone after that. There's just so many verses. Who's got a favourite verse about the heart? Good, nobody. That's a good start. With all your heart. Absolutely. All your mind. It comes first. Heart. Awesome. Yep, good. We've got it. Good. Ah, nice. Yeah. Good.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Yeah. Depend on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he'll direct your path.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. So the heart is about the real you. I'm going to flick forward a couple here, I think. Yeah. The heart is about the real you, the core. Oh, I've got to throw this stuff away. That'd be better, wouldn't it? It's too hard. I love this next slide, though. Just have a look at this. If we neglect this inner area and allow insecurities, anyone got near them? Fear, pride, unresolved anger, hurts, wounds, unforgiveness, impure thoughts, lust, and secret sin to remain hidden and dealt with, they will affect everything we do. So we're walking around with less than whole hearts, fellas, and it impacts everything we do. If you can get one thing from this weekend, is you've got to go after your heart. You've got to go after your heart with God to get it pure, to get it whole. Like the start of a river, if the source is polluted, the whole river will be poisoned. We need to take time to check our inner life as to keep our heart pure and our life healthy and whole. Matt talked about father wound yesterday. Now, I wanted to tell you, my dad, he tried his best. He had a pretty rough story himself. You know, and that played out in our family. So I ended up with a pretty wounded heart from my dad. I don't need to tell you a whole lot more about that. I'll tell you that he lost his dad when he was 15. And I think he blamed himself for that. In my family, I never had the love of a mother. So my mum was just cold. Never had a hug from her. I don't remember her ever telling me she loved me. And so that leaves you with some pretty big gaps. Some blokes have got much harsher stories than that. And some blokes have got much less harsh stories. But most of us grow up with some bits broken in our heart. Would you buy into that possibility? Yeah? Harsh words from your parents. I can remember my father, just this is worth saying. I can remember my cousin was over playing with my brother and I felt left out of the mix, you know. So what do? When you do some attention-seeking behaviour of some sort, I was blowing up. And I remember my dad got angry with me. He got really angry. And I can't remember if he whacked me or something, but he said, "Get out of my sight!" Wow. Get out of my sight. So I did. I ran away. I was only a little kid. I got on my bike and I went. I'm leaving home. I'll get out of your sight. There's no love in that, fellas. So I go, all right, I'm going to go and move in with my grandma. That's what I'm going to do. I've got nothing. Stupid plan, you know, nothing. I get close there. I've ridden miles. And then what am I going to do? My auntie and uncle live nearby. And I thought, she's a pretty nice woman. I'll go there. So I went in. I think they must have loved on me a bit. I just can't remember that. Took me home. Got a flogging for running away. I got a belting. My dad was so angry. You know what it was? He was ashamed in front of his sister that he'd done some harm to me, and he then inflicted more harm. So just sharing one little, that's just a little snippet there, fellas. My dad was a good man as well. He taught me the love of birds. I was out walking this morning and taught me the love of the bush. He taught me how to work hard. He taught me how to look after customers. He taught me lots of things. Still damaged from it. Mother wound as well. So, fellas, we remember things. The stuff that we remember, how much do we forget? So when these little incidents like that, and I've never shared that with anyone before about that running away, but these things that we remember, they're significant. Words like, "You stupid idiot, you're hopeless, you'll never amount to anything." I've heard blokes share that this weekend. Yep, you'll never amount to anything. "You were an accident." Oh, we never really wanted you. I hear parents that are busting up and breaking up and saying these words to them. It's your fault that our marriage is going down. So, wounding can also come from rejection at school and put downs by teachers and peers. We've got this stuff, okay, fellas? Luke 19:10. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." There's different versions here. Some say who was lost or they're lost, but what was lost? So I'm calling out to you, fellas, what's been lost? What's been lost in your heart? Which bits are half broken, half neglected? And what do we do with it? We bury it, we take a hit, and we try and push on. Half-hearted. Trying hard to push on. Trying to do our best. Doesn't make us bad men, but we've got to go to the hospital. You know, I love, there's a picture in a movie there called Kingdom of Heaven. And it's a medieval battle. And this tough guy takes an arrow right through his neck, you know, out the other side. The arrow's half the size of my arm. He's a big Nordic bloke. Shakes his head and battles on, you know. Battles on. And I think that's what we're taught to do. We're taught to just suck it up and move on. Well, guess what? He died. He didn't last very long. He wasn't much good to anyone after that. A fellow I knew who was a leader in construction, tough industry. Anyone here in construction? Yep. Tough industry, tough blokes. I don't know any easy industries, by the way, but he said to me, "Dale, men don't share their feelings. They just get sick and die." He's dead now. And so this heart stuff, fellas, we got to be gutsy enough to go into it. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Anyone free from some loss? I haven't met a bloke yet. I'm going to just tell you how I've gone after this. And fellas, Matt was telling us yesterday about you need to be in the Word plus four times a week. And no disrespect to the pastors here. Most of what I've learned about the manhood journey has not been in church. I love going to church. I'm home at church. It's a place where I can come beside other men, get to worship. I love being in a community. But men need special messages. The pastors can't deliver everything to everybody and address everything. That's why we need to be in these spaces. So if you think being a Christian or a Lutheran or if your job is going to church once a week, no wonder why it's hard, fellas. We've got to be self-feeders. So I've gone after a few things in my life, and I just got to tell you, it's been an extraordinary journey. I just want to share some of that with you. If you've got a bit of woundedness in your heart, the trick is these: you've got to stop pretending. And what we do, fellas, is we pretend. And I'll hear men say to me, "Oh yeah, my father was pretty tough, but I deserved it." We deny that we've been hurt some bits there. We deny our wounds. These blokes that have been in the war, my father was in World War II, never talked about it. Guess what that does? It buries it inside. Eats you alive. The stuff that you... Who was at the shed last night? And Brendan shared. He brought some crap into the light immediately and he's on the way to freedom there. So the stuff in here is so, so important. Did I just hear frogs or something? What was that? We've got to stop pretending. We've got to know that the Son came to seek and save what was lost in us, and we've got to invite him into that. We've got to allow ourselves to grieve, fellas. Grieve what was lost. It's okay to feel that because that's part of moving on. If we don't feel that, we stay stuck. Stuck in the old stuff. Let God your Father love you. Walk in his love. Here's that word again, this most powerful of all words. Release forgiveness. And ask God to father you. I've learned a prayer. And it's a pretty simple one. Lord, father me. Father me. Father me. That's it. When I'm feeling out of my depth or insecure or scared or I just ask him to father me. I'll be your son. Father me. I want you to father me. The amazing thing is, when you discover that God wants to father you, you don't have to work anything out from that point on ever again. He will even show you, here's the crazy thing, he'll even show you how to love him better. That's crazy. That's how good he is. Someone shared on that last night. They prayed on it. So, Father, show me how to love you. Tom shared on it. Where are you, Tom? Not here. He shared on that. He prayed to God, God, I don't feel close to you. What a crazy prayer. I'm asking the Father, can you show me how I can love you more? Show me how to develop love in me. So, fellas, I just started to walk in this. Look at this, reclaim your heart, Ezekiel. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart, and I'll put in you a new spirit. I'll put in you a new spirit in you. I will remove from you a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. A new heart. I had the privilege of knowing Watto for a number of years now, and I've seen him change. I've seen him soften. You know, he used to say to me, I love your guts. Because that's all he was game enough to say. That was a blokey way to say, I love you. Now he says to me, I love you. His heart has been softening. And he sat in the back of one of our retreats one day and he prayed for this. A new heart. Now when you look at Watto, don't you know there's a wholehearted man there? Because he's sold out. He says, I'll stay up here till midnight, till tomorrow for you guys. Because he's so on purpose, so on mission. He prayed for a new heart. Correct, mate? He knows he don't want to make it about him. But I've watched a father change and soften. So I want to share with you two stories of healing, if you'll indulge me. I came to faith and I thought that would be it. But that's just the beginning. Salvation isn't the answer, fellas. Salvation isn't the destination. Forgiveness isn't the goal. It's coming home to the Father. It's coming home to become whole. So I had to do a work. I had to go and do a work. I remember as a young Christian, I sat with a man. In fact, the man that wrote these books. Incredibly, we met when I first came to faith, and now here we are as partners in work. And he walked me through some bits, reflect on my past, what did I need forgiveness for, who did I need to forgive, etc. It was a good bit of work. And you know what? Mostly I didn't know what I needed to forgive or what work I needed to do, so we did what I could think of at the time, and that was all right, except for... except for one thing, I thought, oh, I'm not telling him about that. That's a bit close to the bone. So when I was at school, these school-age kids here, my job was perving on girls. That was my job. That was my job definition, was I'm just going to perv on girls. You know, that's really called is lust. And so I had no one shaping me, but that was my job, literally. So I grow up with eyes for girls. I'm just perving at everything I can possibly see. I don't know what age I was, but my brother shared with me my father's stash of pornography. And so that started a different dimension of that journey. And so when I came to faith at 32, as I said, I'm sharing with this guy bits of my past. I'm going, I'm not going to share that bit. You and me, God, we'll just deal with that one on our own. Guess what? Whatever you keep in the dark, Satan's got you. So pornography played out for me for a number of years, and I felt the duality of that, coming to church and not being whole. And I just need to find some notes. And fellas, lust is just lust. It's as bad as any other sin, and it's just sin. There's a whole lot of shame attached to it. We're too scared to talk about it, and it traps us. Anything with shame, Satan is the dealer of shame. Christ doesn't, he doesn't bring shame. Satan brings that. We've got to know the difference. I tell him to shut up. I'm not accepting your shame in this. I'm going here for this. So, fellas, there came a point in my life where I said, I've got to deal with this, and I will do anything it takes to get this solved. Who can help me with that scripture that says, cut your arm off if that's harming you? Who's got that already in their head? Who knows it? Poke your eye out if it causes you to sin. Cut your left arm off if it's causing you to sin. You know that one? I'm thinking, bloody hell. If I'm going to do what it takes, what's this going to take? So in our church, we ran a course called The Valiant Man. Anyone participated in that? Yeah, a few fellas here. It's a good one. It's about sexual purity as a man. And I'm leading that course, and or a leader, and of course you're trapped in the middle of it all. But I'm a pretty transparent bloke, so I was just up front with the fellas, and that was the beginning of a battle. And I was feeling, I'm in the battle now. I even know what the battle is. I understand the battle, and I'm ready to fight. Well, guess what? Valiant Man is really not for people who've got an addiction. Valiant Man's for people who need to learn about sexual purity and good steps to take. So at the end of that, I'm still stuck. Who's after me at that point? Oh, you're even bloody leading the course. The shame monger is after me. So, but I just said, I'm doing whatever it takes. So this is what I'm talking about being self-feeders. If you want to be healed and whole, you've got to go after it. You've got to go after it yourself. You've got to find it. So I'm going, okay, that's not enough. What am I going to do next? I actually need to back up the story a little bit. You know, the first brave thing I did was a fellow said to me, he was struggling in an area. I always know what that area is. Anyone who says to me, I've got secret sin, I know what that is. Anyway, I went and had breakfast with this fellow, and he told me he'd confessed to our pastor that he was struggling with pornography. And we were having breakfast in the bush, and I thought, oh, this is awesome. I can finally tell someone who I won't feel shame from. So I confessed to him, and we prayed, and at the end of that he said, I don't think that confession was good enough. He was serious. I just said the hardest things I'd ever said to another human being, and he said, no, that wasn't good enough, you didn't cry enough or something. I don't think that confession was real. Who's in the middle of that? Satan's going, don't take those bold steps, mate. I'll smack you again. But I had convicted myself that I'm going after it. I am not giving up. Too bad about that bloke. I didn't know what to do next. I'm following God. I said, I've got to bring it into the light. I convinced myself I'm going to tell four men. I'm going to find four good men in my life, and I'm going to confess to them. So I did over a period of time. Three men confessed the same thing back to me. The fourth man confessed that he was suffering from depression and never told anybody. Take a step, fellas, and share what's in here and you'll be a blessing to others. It's crazy. That's God's economy. He can use that bit in me and bless others. The bit I'm ashamed of, the bit I need healing of, becomes a blessing to others. I had to do that. I'm still not free. I've confessed it. I've done some steps. I'm still hungry. Whatever it takes, I'm doing it. I find something online called Setting Captives Free. And it's for blokes with an addiction. I don't know if I've ever owned up to that idea of an addiction. It certainly was a controlling influence in my life. Certainly unhealthy. And you know, pornography, you feel bad at the end. That's the trap. That's Satan's lie, saying, come over here, this will be good. It's not good. It's poison. So I did this online course, 60 days every day online. Beautiful. And it taught me about the difference about guarding your heart and willpower. And so setting captives free, fellas, look that up if you need to. And if you don't need to, someone you know will. It's in our families, it's in our kids, it's on the phones. Pornography is a battle we've got to understand because we've got a part to play, whether it's in our face or not. So I did this course, and one of the things it taught me was willpower is not going to be enough. So I've got on all my devices, I've got filterware that called Safe Eyes is the product I've found. Safe Eyes. And guess who's the IT guy in my family? Not me. My son. Guess what I've got to do? I've got to confess to my son. Son, I've struggled here. I need your help to keep the filter going. I need his help. How hard was that? Guess what, though? Then I can talk to him about it. From an early age, we talked about it. We did a book together called Preparing for Every Man's Battle. I did that when he was 15. We did it together. You've got to be talking to your sons and your daughters, mostly sons, though, about this topic. Now, so fellas, when you take away the risk, you take away the temptation. So all my devices have software on now where I can't access anything. My wife is gracious to me. She's joined me in the battle for this. She hasn't been hurt, which many women would be. And so even sharing with our wives is a sensitive thing. You need wise counsel around that. Don't just go and blurt stuff out, particularly around the sexual arena. It's just tricky. How are we going for time, fellas? We're all good? So you're getting that journey? Whatever it takes to get clean, because it was killing me. Hey, Brennan, the duality of it, it kills you. You're in church, you're feeling ashamed of even being there. Satan's going, what are you doing here? I know you. But Christ is saying, I know you too. And I came to save and heal your heart, not to leave you there stuck. So, fellas, I can remember sitting in church one day. I'm going to change the subject a little here, but I'm sitting in church one day, and I got convicted. I don't know how it came. I don't remember. But this verse has been very significant, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I'm sitting in church one day, and I go, I've been to counselling, I've been to lots of counselling. Counselling's been great. And I sat in church one day. I felt like I'm dragging chains around from the past. Stuff from my dad and stuff from other stuff. I'm just dragging around. It's a weight. Whole dragging me down. Everything's harder than it should be. I sat in church one day and I said, you know what? If you've sent your son to heal the brokenhearted, I'm going to take you up on that. Fair income, God, I'm going to go after that. If you're promising me that, if you're promising me healing, I'm going after it. I'll do my bit, but I'm going to take you up on that. It's the first time in my life I said to God, you're promising that, good. Let's do it. Let's do my part. See, saying the words doesn't do it. You've got to go after it. come to heal the brokenhearted. So I'm going after this healing. I want to be free. I want to be strong. So fellas, I don't do a lot of things right, but one thing I do is I spend time with God. And not all that often, but I'll go in half a day or a day, or I've done 2-day retreats, just me and God. Right, preparing for this retreat here, I did a 2-day retreat. He gave me 2 visions. He gave me the vision for our prayer on Friday night, and he gave me the vision for us kneeling as sons. But if you don't give God time, he's doing nothing. He needs time. So I said, good, I'm taking you up on this healing offer, and I'm going to give you some time. I'll give you half a day. Let's see what happens. You know, like that might be the beginning of something. Let's go and do that. So I went. I usually go up to the mountains. Mount Glorious is where I go, you know. And Simon was just talking about that last night. He's just moved up to Queensland. I was very pleased to hear he'd found that spot. It's a beautiful place. I was heading to Mount Glorious, and on the way out there, I'd been to work up till lunchtime, and I thought, I'll go up there. I grabbed some lunch in this little village at Sanford there, and then I thought, I need to eat my lunch before I get up there. I went to this place I knew, which was some Aboriginal Boorah rings. I thought, I'm just going to eat my lunch there. It's been a special place for me as a boy. I really admire the indigenous cultures that can live off the land, and that's amazing. Knowledge and talent they have, their connection with the earth. I'm sitting there eating my lunch. I'd done some counselling, fellas, and me and the counsellor agreed 2 things. You know what I needed to do was remember my childhood. I'd forgotten all the good stuff, and I'd been wounded by this stuff, and it became who I was. I'd forgotten all the good stuff that happened in my childhood. That sounds like something lost. I had to go and reclaim my childhood. That's what the counsellor said to me. Alrighty-o, me and God, we're going to go and do that. And we had to heal 15 to 21 because I knew that's where shame arrived. And we worked that out together. So I'm sitting there eating my lunch. Here's a sign there and says, this is the Boorah rings, this is the Kippa rings. This is where the boys, this is the ceremony occurs where the boys are initiated into manhood. Remember your childhood, heal 15. Maybe I need to be here. Maybe I need to be here. These Boorah rings out at Sanford, I'll take you out there. Unbelievable. Got another appointment with a bloke up the back there. There's a big ring there, 16 metres across, 800 metres up through the trees is another ring. And they have this ceremony there where the boys and the women and the men meet. And I could see these young fellas in my mind. Scared, thinking about their childhood, which they're going to leave behind them, and they're going to be initiated, and it takes days, and it hurts, it's harmful, and they don't know if they've got what it takes. And so I thought, this is the time, this is a place to rediscover my childhood. So I've just got some time, I've just given God time and said, God, help me remember what I need to remember. And I just walked and prayed, Lord, father me, help. And you know what he said? Do you remember this? Do you remember that? Good stuff. Do you remember in the football, I made you a leader? I felt like a fraud as a leader, fellas. That's where the fear comes from. He said, remember, I made you a leader even when you were a boy. Do you remember in Boy Scouts, you were a leader as a boy? Oh, man, all this goodness flooded in, and it healed my childhood. I stayed there for several hours praying that. I'd get ready to leave the ring and I'd say, Lord, are we done yet? No, there's more. Great. That's just talking to the Father. He'll do that with you if you give him the time. Every time I went to leave the ring, he said, no, there's more. I'm about to leave the ring, so we reclaim childhood and then heal 16 to 21. This is just my story, fellas. Not projecting this on anyone else, but if you've got some healing work to do, then you got to do it. I'm about to leave the ring. Clouds are forming. Big, thick thunder clouds. I knew it was coming. I had my raincoat. I thought, it needs to rain. So I step out into 15. I just step forward 10 minutes and say, this is 15, Lord. I want you to remind me everything. Everything that I need to be thankful for. Everything that I need to ask your forgiveness for. Everything that I need to give forgiveness for. Then let's do that now. And I stood there in the rain, tears streaming down my face. It was beautiful, hard, and good. And we then stepped into 16. I'd wait and say, good, are we done yet? No, there's more, 16. This took hours. It was just awesome. And he healed my heart that day. He's a quick healer. You know, all the Bible, they just touch his robe or he touches them. And he'll heal you. But you've got to go after that. There's a battle on for your heart. There is a battle on for your heart. Are you in the game? Are you fighting for your heart? Your wives, your children, your neighbours need you to be wholehearted. My father wasn't. I want to be. This is just an amazing verse. I come to heal the brokenhearted, to claim liberty to the captives. What are we captive to? The past, our brokenness, pornography. What did you say? Someone said something? Still missed it.
Freedom.
Yeah, freedom. And the opening of the prison to those who are bound. What are we bound by, fellas? Pardon? Shame, yep.
Anger.
Anger, yep. I love Les sharing this morning. He was bound by denomination. Oh, gee, this is a bit weird. He goes to scriptures and finds it in there. That was beautiful, Les. Thank you for opening up. We've got to be open, fellas. God's bigger than any denomination or anything else that we can conjure up. He talks to me when I'm out there walking. Doesn't he? He's everywhere. If you read forward, can someone find that Isaiah 61, please? Good man, who's got it? Can I borrow that, please? Yeah. Thank you very much. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. This is Isaiah foretelling Jesus' ministry. Amazing. To proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty, a crown of beauty instead of ashes. You got some stuff that have been burnt up, fellas? Ashes in the past? He can turn that into beauty. That's what I'm talking about. He can turn my relationship with pornography, it's a strength. It's something to share, something amazing. His ability to do that is incredible. Don't be afraid of your broken bits. The oil of gladness and a garment of praise. An oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. You will be called his oaks of righteousness.
Dale, my vision says a joyous praise in place of broken hearts.
Thank you. Thank you. You will be called his oaks of righteousness. I walked back out of there, fellas, and I didn't know what was going on. I'm writing in my journal. Who shared the other day? I wrote down, God, is this just for me, this experience, or is this to share? I didn't even know. I think it's to share. I wrote down, I saw a frangipani tree. Every other tree was a gum tree. And on the floor of this frangipani tree, underneath it was all these flowers. I picked some up. They're my girl's favourite flowers. I stuck some in my pocket. I wrote in my journal, beauty. Lord, I see beauty. Don't know what about that. Out of the middle of this frangipani tree was growing this silky oak tree. Beautiful big silky oak growing out overarching the frangipani. And I wrote down, strength, Lord. That's what I see here, beauty and strength. I send all this note. I wrote it up. I did an email to my counsellor and said, gee, I had a pretty big day today. And the moment I pressed send, he phoned me. Like he was that amazed at the email. He said, this is incredible. So I sent it to another man, Darren Lewis, who's a good friend of mine who lives in Townsville. And Darren interpreted this experience for me, and he shared this Isaiah 61 with me. You will be, and he speaks to me. He says, you, Dale, will be called his oaks of righteousness. That's who you are becoming. Wow. I didn't orchestrate this. I didn't plan this. Nobody taught me this. God just led me in it. We will be called his oaks of righteousness. On that frangipani tree, fellas, it was about 50, maybe 70 years old, this thing. And it had broken branches, had dead branches, had rotten branches, had scars and bits ripped off it. And guess what? It was creating beauty. And in that moment, my scars were reframed in my head. Everything I've been through has made me who I am. Everything I've survived becomes my strength. Everything, hey mate, everything, the thing, they're not shameful. The things you've had to endure made you who you are. But there's probably some healing to do in the middle of all that as well. Bring it full circle. Ah, this is important. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The invitation of God is for healing, but he won't heal you unless you ask him for it. It's unbelievable. He'll leave us right where we are until we say, Lord, I need your intervention here. So he comes up to a blind man, says, what do you want me to do for you? He doesn't assume. He waits for our invitation. There's another example there where he came to the crippled guy at the pool. I think he says, do you want to get healed? Do you want to get healed? So, fellas, do you want to get healed? I don't know what the time is. I don't care what the time is. I was working with an Indigenous Christian leader recently, and he said, I work in a lot of corporates, and he said, I think you white fellas have got some interesting ideas about time. He said, oh, they're all so busy, everyone's so busy, they're trying to cram this in, trying to cram that in. And he said, what I hear white fellas say is, I've got to create more time. And he said, I'd like to see you do that. We got to get into the unforced rhythm of God's timing. The unforced rhythms. Matthew, a beautiful passage there. I'm not good at remembering passages. I know they exist. I'll find that for you. So, fellas, I want to just, as we knelt yesterday, I just wanted to create a marker for you to say, I want to be your son. I want to walk. I want to create a marker today to say, I want some healing. And I'm going to invite the pastors out, but if you need some healing, whether it's big or little, I'm just going to invite you to come and bring it before the cross here. So those that are coming forward, which might be everybody. Yes, good call, good call. We assume they don't need that same ministry. Awesome call. So I'm just going to invite you now. I haven't got a special thing to do. God's here. He's our Father. He wants to heal our hearts. If you've got something to bring, then I invite you to come and kneel and offer it up to Him. If anyone's got any more than that, I'll welcome it. But let's start there. Lord, let me pray. Let me pray. Father, you love us. Thank you. You love us so much that you sent your Son to rescue us. You love us so much you're willing to sacrifice Him for us. You sent Him to bind up the brokenhearted, set the captives free. You sent Him to come and seek us and to save us and to save what's been lost in us. The devil prowls around to kill and steal and destroy. Jesus came that we may have life and have it to the full. We've got to be in the battle, Lord. Thank you for revealing that to us. Thank you for being right behind us, in us, in your Holy Spirit, helping us, opening our eyes to this battle. The ones we love need us to have whole hearts, Lord. And so we invite you now to come and minister amongst us. Invite men forward, Lord. Put it on their heart that now's the time to bring some stuff and do your work in them, Lord. Your healing work, we pray. So I'm just going to stay in this attitude, fellas, and invite you forward. Some are ready right now, or just jump out of your seat and come forward. Come on, fellas. Lord, search me and know me. Create in me a pure heart. There's plenty of room up here, fellas. Don't hold back now. Just make this a turning point. Just make this a turning point for your future.
Father God, we just pray together right now with all these men who've come out on their knees. Lord, we just cast all of our burdens, all of our anxieties, all of our worries, all of our sin, all of our addictions, all of our brokenness. We just confess it now and we lay it at the foot of the cross. We thank you for the finished work of the cross. When you died on that cross, Lord, you said, "It is finished." You dealt with it. You paid the price. And we just thank you, Lord, that He who the Son sets free is free indeed. So we just pray for freedom for all of these men. We pray that the chains will be broken off their life in the name of Jesus. We pray that the lies of the devil will be exposed and done away with once and for all. We thank you, Lord, that these men are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, overcomers. that they are dressed in the armor of God. They are ready to stand. And no matter what the enemy throws at them, they have victory through the blood of Christ. Thanks be to God who leads us in triumphal procession in Christ Jesus. We have the victory in you, Lord. So we claim victory and we ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll come and seal that over these men today. Come on, men, just stretch out your hands and pray for these men that are out here today. Holy Spirit, come and fill these men today. Fill them with your power. Release them from their chains, from their fears, from the lies of the enemy. Release them. Let every one of them be walking in freedom in the name of Jesus. Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven in these men's lives today. Holy Spirit, come and touch them with your power in the name of Jesus. And just as Dale was sharing before, the Lord showed me a vision of a wound. And you know, when you've got an open wound, it can have bits of gravel or dirt, or and it can become infected. And the Lord was showing me that he wants to clean out that wound today by his blood with the washing of the water of the word, and he's going to clean it out from the inside out. You might have tried to put a band-aid on this wound.
Yes.
It's only a temporary fix. Jesus is the divine surgeon who's going to cut out that wound from the inside out. And he's going to purify you today. Sanctify you today. Thank you, Father, for blessing all of these men. We just lay hands on them today. And we pray, God, that they'll get a revelation that the old is gone, the new has come. They are new creations in Christ Jesus. Give them that revelation, identity as the sons of the Most High God, champion sons of the King. Give them that revelation today, Lord God. And I just believe the word of the Lord to you today is that that wound is cleaned out. You are made new. Stand firm. Rise up. Be the men of God that you've been called to be. Holy Spirit, just come and seal that in their hearts today, we pray. In Jesus' name. Just while we're praying, does anybody else feel anything else they want to add to that? Anyone got a scripture or a prophetic word or a word of encouragement they want to add to that? This isn't about Dale and me. This isn't about Watto. This isn't about Fred. This is about the body of Christ in action. If you've got something that the Holy Spirit's put on your heart, just be obedient. Just come and share it.
Fellas, I stand before you pretty humbled with this one. I've had an ongoing battle with pornography, and I've shared it with my wife, which is probably the most humbling thing I've ever been able to do. But it's an ongoing battle. But I just want to talk about the hope and the joy that Jesus puts in this. And Bill Johnson once said that God won't stop you from sinning, but it'll stop your ability to enjoy sinning. And I've just watched God working through this issue, and I've been patient because I know that Jesus, he fulfills the good he begins in you. He doesn't give up halfway. He's faithful. And every time I fail, the gap gets shorter between coming back to his love and coming back to his love. And it's at the point now where within a second of the whole action, I can't even remember the enjoyment. All I can feel is God's love, and I still fall. But I've just had God put on my heart then. I could see very clearly being in the process of the action, and God just being wrapped around me and holding me. And as much as that must sadden him to see that, he is right there in that moment, and he won't look away. I just wanted to declare before you, fellas, Lord, I thank you for the love that you show, that unfailing love, and that you're going to conquer this in me. Thank you, Jesus.
Good on you, mate. Awesome. Come on, give me a hand. Anybody else got anything they want to share? Come on, brother.
There's one of my favourite books out there on the bookshelf out there called The Shack. And that is just such a beautiful description of the way that the Father, Son and Holy Spirit gets together and works together and renews. And as the guys were out here and these guys saying, there's a really, really beautiful passage in there where the guy that's been crushed in darkness by losing his little girl to in horrible circumstances, and he's gone into the great darkness, and God's doing a number on him, and he's face to face with God, and he says, God, aren't you ever disappointed that I keep mucking up the same time over and over again? And if I can remember the words, they sort of go along like this, and God says to him, Mac, don't forget, I see your whole life from beginning to end. I see you muck up the first time and the second, but I can see all the way to the end. And I know that it's only going to take 47 times before you finally get it. So you've only got 45 left to go, and that's grand. And what sort of a bit of an encouragement is that? When I've been here a few times, and I hear from guys that come back similar things, that they've confessed stuff in front of you last year and maybe the year before, but they're still not totally cleansed and free from it. It doesn't sort of happen once, bang, now it's all perfect and there's no problem. No, it's an ongoing problem with a lot of these. But just don't forget, God knows all the way to the end, and he knows that there's fewer and fewer and fewer times before you finally get it. God bless you guys.
It is almost time for morning tea, but has anybody else got anything they want to share? Yeah, mate?
Sometimes we think because we're older, we have it all together. Well, I've got news for you. We don't. I love my wife very, very dearly. She said to me the other day, "You're a bit of a flirt." Now that really hurt. That you think that I am a flirt. I am a cuddly person, and I just have to really watch myself. So I just wanted to warn you, just because you think and that you're older, that Satan, he can't have his way in your life, and have to beware.
Good on you, mate. Thank you, buddy, for sharing.
So, fellas, am I still on? Yeah. This isn't about pornography. Pornography is just a sin. And it's not even about pornography, it's about lust. That's what the problem is. Pornography is the newest attack on that. And it's a multi-billion dollar business. And it's incredible. Can't hear it?
Can I add something to that?
Yeah. Go.
I was going to add something to that because... a few years ago, I forgot his name now. A psychologist mate from Queensland. What's his name? Peter Chinetsky. He's gone blank. He preached on the statistics and that there's this huge amount of money, like billions and billions of dollars, have been targeted at 11-year-old boys.
Yes.
Now, I've seen that firsthand now. My son went to a school earlier this year, and it's a school where they're pretty free about their rules about these things. That's bloody dangerous. Because what he experienced in the playground was not just kids not socialising, but actually they were on porn. They were viewing porn on their devices, and they were talking about it between themselves. And there were teachers going in between, ignoring that sort of stuff. So just be careful, guys. Think about your boys. And that that website, I've got that noted down. What was it again? Setting captors free.
There's a few things in this that you need to be aware of. And this book, which is Preparing Your Son for Every Man's Battle, creates a way to engage with your sons. It's the hardest conversation. Who here had a great, informative, healthy, directive conversation with their father about sexuality? Oh, one. Not one. One. Good job. Two, maybe. And so, where do we learn from? Our friends. And our friends have got these. And there's a billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar industry targeting the little ones. They want to get them addicted early so that they can carry on forever. So that's targeting our kids. Fellas, I wanted to say that I wanted to just pray for a minute, and I wanted to pray for those who didn't come forward. And Lord, thank you for these men. Thank you for all these men. I know that I've sat back sometimes when there's been a call. And I've thought, you know, I felt bad. I've sat there going, is this me? Should I go forward? Shouldn't I? There's a bloke sitting next to me. I'll have to push him out the way. Is this all the porn addicts up the front? I don't want to sign up for that. This is not what that was about. But I want to pray for you fellas who wanted to come forward and didn't. And you haven't missed this. You haven't missed this. God's offer of healing is permanent. You just like, what I did is just go after it. That's what I wanted to share with you. If you walk with God, the Father, He will show you the way. It's incredible. So Lord, just pray for these ones to know they haven't missed anything. You're available over morning tea. You're available outside. You're available at lunchtime. You're available back at home. You're available in the tractor, Lord. We can stop and be still wherever we are and call upon you, and you are there. So thank you for your ongoing love for us, which never dies. Your desire for us to be clean and whole, to have whole hearts. I pray for these men that they don't think we're done here. I'm not done. I'm still seeking you out, Lord. So give you thanks for what you're yet to do in us, Lord, with great anticipation. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. That's better. I'm just thinking about this topic we've brought up about pornography, you know. And it's a battle. What I meet is most men going, I don't know what God's purpose for me is. I don't know what my purpose... Yeah. Yep, and a lot of men tell me that. He wants you in the fight first and foremost. You don't have to be given a special calling for that. He wants you in the fight for your heart. He wants you in the fight for our women and our women's hearts. They've got wounded hearts too. Unless we get whole, we're not going to be able to minister to our women. Unless we get whole, we won't be able to minister to our sons. I'm not talking about your biological sons. I'm talking about all the sons. So you don't have to wait around for some special anointing of a purpose. We've got a purpose as a man. Step into that. Get strong. Find the ability to affirm another man. You've got to learn that. Watto's taught me that. Other men have taught me that. To walk up to a man, put my hand on their shoulder and say, I can see a good man here. And because I've been given those eyes. To walk up. You know, I led a retreat for men. At the end of that camp, it was a different church. They said, Dale, this is full of old blokes here. How do we get the young blokes in? And I said, what are their names? That was the end of the conversation. They don't know their names. They're not coming to a camp if you're not in relation to them, ship with them. They're not coming to anything unless they know they're accepted and loved by you. So we have this calling already on us. You don't have to wait, sitting around wondering what's God got for me? You're a man. We've got responsibility with that. Get your heart healed so that you can get strong and you can start to play the part that God's got for you. Remember this moment. There's moments where I get sick and tired, fellas. This is one of them. Sick and tired of seeing lost fellas. We're the saved ones. We're the minority. Get strong. Get healed. There's a whole world out there that needs strong men. If you think following God is going to church on Sunday, you're pretending. He's calling you. I've seen in your eyes, you're getting stirred. This world is aching. Half of us are aching. Well, let's stop it. Have the guts to deal with what you've got to deal with. Have the guts to become strong. Have the guts to stand beside another man. Have the guts to call up a son. To look at church and go and see a young fella on an instrument and go, I'm going to go and tell him what a good job he's doing. Do you reckon, I work in corporates, I work in ministry. I've never heard anyone come up to me and say, I'm sick of all this encouragement that I get. I'm over it. I wish someone would give me a punch in the guts. Fellas, men, when you speak to a son, anyone's son, they listen. The affirmation of a man to a man is profound. It's spiritual. So I'm calling you, stop mucking about. Yes. Yes. No, well, good. You want a chair?
Oh, no.
I'm getting you one.
I'm not a Collingwood six-footer.
Peter,
okay.
I'm just asking you to be bolder than usual. Get up right there, mate.
Strong and bold. We're from Tiger Land.
That's it.
Rightio. Think about the culture we live in this country. Think about the media. Think about what we get on the news every day, the disaster du jour in the morning when the alarm goes off at 6 or 7 or whatever it is. Look at the crap and the insult to our intelligence and our morality and our Christian belief that we get on television now. These shows about Married at First Sight and that farmer wants a wife and 7-year itch and all this absolute rubbish, not to mention all the cooking shows, which is my wife and I call food porn, when we see that there's all these people in the world who are so hungry, and here we are indulging ourselves in this affluent society about all this incredible food we can eat. Well, that's just setting the scene about the culture we're in. The other thing is, Christine worked in America for 7 years when she was in her early, mid-20s and early 30s, and the one thing she learnt in America was that they affirm you. Now, we like knocking the Yanks, but you can admire them for that. There's affirmation in their society. When you do something well, they tell you. In our country, the only time you get a reaction is when you stuff up. So I made a conscious decision a few years ago that I'll go around affirming people. And I get some bizarre reactions from men and women, particularly women. I say, hey, I'm telling you, I think you're a really lovely woman and I think you really do a great job. I say, just say thank you. Just accept it. Don't have to say, oh, don't be silly. Same with blokes. If you've got a bloke that's your good mate, you tell him, hey, you're my mate and I think you're brilliant. And you do that really well. If we as the men of God who want to change this country can start to affirm each other and affirm our work colleagues and affirm our mates and our sons and our daughters and our wives, we can change the whole country.
Mm. Is that something? No.
I'm with you, Dan.
Yeah. Hang on one second. Good idea. Fellas, I'm not trying to manufacture something here. I'm not trying to manufacture something fake. I didn't even ask you to stand up. I just want you to know that there is a purpose for you already. You don't have to wait for a special call. People are sitting around waiting. There's a call on us to be men. We've got to understand that. It's written in our DNA. God put it there. And we just got to be ready to do that. And we've got to know what it takes. And it takes for us to get whole and healed, so that we can be a blessing, oaks of righteousness for others. So, Lord, we have a room full of men standing up, taking a stand, and that's your doing, Lord. They've called each other up. Our country needs these men. 150 men can change the world. 12 have changed the world, Lord. 150 can change this country, Lord. Amen. So have your way with us, Father. You know each of us and each of our journeys. You know what the heartaches are. You know what the passions are. You know what the abilities are. You know what the dreams are, Lord. We're all different. Please use us. May we make ourselves available to you, Lord. May we follow your lead on what you need to do with us and through us first. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.